Currently mostly cloudy skies and 65 degrees with Warren, the whole gang around till 8. A reminder, we're talking about beverages and diet pops. How about your chance to win? This is a lot of fun. Tickets to win the Wine and Craft Beer Festival coming up on August 26th and 27th at the Meadowbrook Amphitheater. It's the 17th time they're doing this, and it's from 1 to 5 on Saturday and 1 to 9 on Sunday, I think it is. But when you hear a song with wine in the lyrics, then you call toll-free. Call Lori at 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0957. But you have to identify the group singing the song that has the lyrics revolving around wine. That's the catch here before you get your ticket. So keep that in mind as we talk before we do anything else. A little bit about possibility.
I will tell you this, North Korea better get their act together or they're going to be in trouble like few nations ever have been in trouble in this world, okay?
Say it again, y'all.
Continues to unfold over there in Asia as we get an update here from a veteran correspondent we've been talking to for years, noted author on conflict and crisis from Southeast Asia to the Middle East to Northeast Asia, covered wars from the Vietnam War to Iraq, also known for his reporting on North Korea, including the nuclear and the human rights and the payoffs from South to North Korea. Went to Indonesia, I think it was back in the mid-1960s. He's on the line now from Seoul. Don Kirk, it's evening there. What kind of reporting has been going on and how many details of what the president here in the United States has been saying about the threats from North Korea?
Well, he's used this term lock and load, you know,
yep.
that we are locked and loaded, ready to fire. This is a whole lot of rhetoric, hard to know what it means, whether or not he really is ready to fire. We're very puzzled as to whether he's going to carry out any of these threats. We may know later this month, because later this month, North Korea said that they will test fire missiles in the direction of Guam, not to hit the U.S. airbase in Guam, a major U.S. airbase, but maybe 20 or 30 miles away, said the North Korean broadcast. And at the same time, U.S. and South Korean troops are going to be playing war games, military exercises. So we could come to a showdown later this month. If North Korea fires those missiles in the direction of Guam, and if U.S. and South Korean troops are staging war games, would Donald Trump then want to order a preemptive strike on North Korea's missile facilities? It's still hard to believe, but it could happen.
What about the people there in Seoul where you are? How are they reacting? 40 miles away from the demilitarized zone that, of course, was set up between North and South Korea back at the end of, World War II in, 1948?
The DMZ, the demilitarized zone, was set up in 1953 at the end of the Korean War. There was a truce at the end of the Korean War in July 1953, and the DMZ, 4 kilometers wide, was set up with that truce, and it's been in existence ever since. In 1945, the Korean Peninsula was divided between the northern zone and the southern zone, divided at the 38th parallel. The northern zone was Soviet-controlled by the former Soviet Union. Southern zone was U.S. controlled. Then the U.S. troops left the southern zone. They didn't entirely leave the southern zone, but they turned the southern zone over to South Korean control in 1948. And at the same time, in the northern side, the Soviet forces basically left and turned over control to the newly established Democratic People's Republic of Vietnam, which was, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which was, which is the communist North Korea.
And what do you think, Don Kirk, there in Seoul, North Korea's nuclear weapons challenge, as serious a crisis an American president has faced since the end of the Cold War?
Well, it could be. I'm not saying it really is. So far, it's a war of words. It's a war of rhetoric. They've test-fired a number of missiles. They've staged six nuclear tests, underground nuclear tests. So far, there have been no lives lost as a result of these tests. We've had lives lost. We've had wars fought in Afghanistan, Iraq, elsewhere in the Middle East, Lebanon. We've lost thousands of lives in the Middle East. So one could say, well, the crises in the Middle East were really more serious than the crisis here. But the crisis here could break out into something much more serious if North Korea makes good on its threats, and if President Trump makes good on his threats. We could have a second Korean War.
What about the newspaper coverage, radio and TV, and the people on the streets there where you are in Seoul? How are they reacting to this?
Yeah, getting to that, you don't sense a lot of panic here. I just, seconds ago, I was in a coffee shop. I stepped out of the coffee shop because there was so much yakking going on, so much background sound, a whole lot of people jabbering away, a little bit of music playing in the background. I was afraid that perhaps I couldn't hear you or you couldn't hear me. But believe me, they were not talking about North Korea. They were gossiping. They were exchanging talk. There were family groups and so forth, little kids running around. A bunch of women came in together. Seemed to look like a ladies' club of some sort. All came in together and sat around the table next to where I was sitting. They were gabbing so much that I just had to walk out. But they were not talking about North Korea. They were talking about anything but North Korea. There's not a sense of panic here. People are not rushing to the airport to evacuate the country. They're going to the airport to go on summer vacations, but they're not fleeing Seoul, and they're not building bomb shelters.
Well, and it's been suggested yesterday by President Trump that the leader of North Korea should be saying something publicly as opposed to the members of the North Korea military. I think it's General Raj Gyam who has repeated a threat to target the United States territory of Guam.
Right. The leader of North Korea, 33-year-old Kim Jong-un, is not talking. He often visits military bases, and he does issue statements from time to time, and he compliments his forces for staging missile tests. But why isn't he speaking out? Why don't we hear from him? We may hear from him. That could happen. But that's a good point. He should be talking now, but he's not. But nonetheless, he is certainly ordering the release of a rhetorical blast in which North Korea is threatening more missile tests in the direction of Guam and threatening a showdown with the United States. The North Korean newspapers are inveighing against the United States. They've staged a mass rally of tens of thousands of people in Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, and they put out an editorial saying that 3.5 million young North Koreans, students, even military veterans who've already served in the armed forces, are volunteering to serve again to face the aggressor United States.
Yeah, they probably don't have much of a choice. I think 80,000 plus U.S. troops in that region of Japan and South Korea and over there in Guam as well. Always good talking with you. Let's hope everything calms down, the rhetoric will subside, and cooler heads will prevail, Don. Keep us posted,
all right? We all hope so. Good talking to you.
All right, Don Kirk in Seoul with Warren. We'll go to Guam momentarily, but first, other news unfolding, you ask, on this Saturday morning. You've got it.